Father in heaven, we thank you for the promises made to us and preserved for our reading and studying and learning in the age of grace, even in, yes, the year 2010. We thank you for a place to come and worship Almighty God. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ who made it possible for us to be called children of God. And we come and honor him as we honor our Father and come to the throne of grace and ask for the knowing that's needed to help me this day. Dear Father, my desire is that your people love you, your people serve you, and have instructions that's needed to know what to do. Whether they do it or not, we pray they at least know what to do. Thank for this book that's a book of faith, but yet we have much in it that we may know about the God of this universe while others are searching. We're so grateful you found us. And through Jesus Christ, we became your children, and we are not ashamed of that today. And we ask that we'd learn now from this precious book as the Holy Spirit use it to draw us to the Lamb of God. Help us now, been saved, to be able to grow in grace and knowledge, to know what we believe, and go back to this world, into this world, and use it for God's glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Won't you take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 5. And then we're going to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We live in an age today that where people say, this past week is something that we try to gear up in the flesh. That is, we excite ourselves in something that has to do with the satisfaction of the flesh, that we really don't know who this God we're talking about is. That he has been accepted by people in this world to be many things other than the true and living God of the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got all over this earth today people believing in gods in so many different ways. I mean, there's people today that literally believe that God's in rocks and trees. Now, God is the author and the creation of that. But that's not God. He's the creation. That's a created product of God. They got that God is in so many different ways. He's in the air. He's in the stars. That is a product of God's creation. It lets us know there's a supreme being, but it doesn't tell us anything about who he is. And when a person begins to take a thing and make it as a God, they're really off base. And isn't it amazing? Nobody says much about anyone who will take a thing and make it a God and try to give a reason why they make it a God. But when you and I go to the scriptures and say we have a written record of what God has given us about himself, they laugh at us, they ridicule us, and they call us everything except things we like to be called. Amen? That's all there is to it. You go anywhere, listen, we as Christians in this world know there's a characteristic about Christ that we have to exhibit. And if you truly exhibit that characteristic about Christ, then this world will become your enemy. You won't make them your enemy. They've just become your enemy. You can teach and believe anything in this world you want to believe, and people get along with it pretty well. You give and take. But when it comes to the record of the Lord Jesus Christ and God and his plan and his purpose, you'll find out quickly that this world becomes your enemy. Listen, all through history, study it, and you'll find where Christians took their stand for the cause of Christ, the world claimed them to be rebel rousers, insurrectionists, and everything else. And the only thing, they made good citizens when the government run right. They supported their government when it's run right. But when they began to stand on the principles of God's word and Jesus Christ, then the world began to label them as rebel rousers and began to push toward destroying them. It's not that they were doing it, but it's the fact the Christian was not robbing. The Christian was not killing, except sometimes when he's moved into a place that where he had to defend. And of course, we have the crusades and stuff in history, and they keep breaking that up, and they call them the Christian crusades. Whatever the reason for that, I don't understand at all. I've read a lot about it, but don't understand it all. But I'll tell you this, most Christians just live the life of Christ, and the world hates it. That's all there is to it. And so, why do we do that? What is it that gives us the edge to do that? Well, because we believe that God has left us not ignorant, concerned about what he wants us to do. In his word, there's some things we can literally know. And here John says in 1 John chapter 5, he puts it this way. He first said in verse 7 that there are three that bears record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. I preached on that here a while back, and I'll get on it today. But notice, the Father, the Word, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then, of course, notice the Holy Ghost. These three are one. You can't separate them. When one speaks, all three agree. Then watch. Verse 8, he said, and there are three that bear record in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. And then he says in verse 9, if we receive the witness of men. By the way, that's what religion does. It receives the witnesses of men. And man looks at man and tries to listen to what man has to say, and then from there, you know, settle down to some type of basic, what they call knowledge, to believe what they're saying or not believe what they're saying. And there's no disruption either way. It seems like they get along. But watch what he says. But the witness of God is greater. See that? Have you got your Bibles open? Amen. Witness of men to men can agree and go and give and take. But, wait a minute, the witness of God is greater. And watch, he says, for this is the witness of God. Someone say, well, now, what is the witness of God? And God not only tells us statements and asks us questions, but he gives us answers. And he said, this is the witness of God. Notice, that which he had testified of his Son. This is the witness of God. Hey, this is what God said. Amen? This is what God said. Hey, you say, preacher, wait a minute. You know, these preachers go, they preach opinions of self and they do this and that. No, look at the book. That's what I asked you to do. Look at the book, those who listen by radio in a few minutes. Look at the book. He said, this is the witness of God. What is that witness? And then he says in verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. In other words, there's something took place in you and I that we trusted Christ as Savior. The Holy Spirit moved in. And now he says, we have the witness of God in ourselves. We have that which God will bear record in when we look at this book. The Spirit cries, Abba, Father, Paul said in Romans, that when we began to call upon his name. And notice again, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Watch this. The other side of that, he that believeth not of God hath made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. That's fairly easy to understand. You believe because you believe the record, you believe God, he gives you the witness of this in himself. If you believe not, he says you have called God a liar. I don't know of any person in any religious realm of this world would say that they would dare call God a liar intentionally. But God says, you don't have to call me a liar. You just don't believe the record that I give of my Son, and you have called me a liar. That's just the way it is. I'm talking about knowing things now about what God really wants us to know so we can go back into that world and stand and not be tossed to and fro with every type of wind and doctrine because he has settled us in what we know. And here's the thing, when he settles you, you will become an enemy to someone. They're not going to accept it. And watch what he said. He said, he that believeth not hath made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. Oh, what? Because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. What is the record? And he says in verse 11, and this is the record. Amen. Ain't God wonderful? He says there's a record, and this is the record. Watch what he says. This is the record that God has given to us. Us who? Those who believe the record. God has given to us, watch this, eternal life. Now, preacher, what's that? Well, I could spend a little time there. It's not only just the quality of life, it's a quantity of life, and it's more involved with the quality as it is the quality as it is the quantity. It's the very life of God that he promises here. And so here again, I see that he goes further. He said, then he notices, and he said, this is the record that God gave us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. This life, this eternal life, the record that God has given, this eternal life, where's it at? It's in his Son. Watch this next verse. He that hath the Son hath life. They say that's simple. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son. Somebody said, well, wait a minute, wait, preacher. He said he had the Son. Whose Son is he talking about? The next phrase tells us. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
Amen. That's right.
Now that's plain. That's simple. That's easy to read and easy to understand. Again, then he said, these things have I written unto you, that ye may believe first on the name of the Son of God, and then that ye may know, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Isn't that amazing? God said, I'll give you assurance of it. And he said again, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Then I look over in at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, and Paul said this, for this which cause I also suffered these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I want you to know we are not ignorant. We're not running after a mythical thing that we made up in our mind. It sounds so good that a few of us got others to come together and we conjugate around it and look at this thing that's mythical, and yet we believe it so much that it's so. It's not something that the imagination that we have and try to make it reality. This is something that God himself gives to those who will honestly, truly believe in him. And Paul is telling us, and John is telling us about this. There are some things that God has written that he really does truly want us to understand. And it comes through knowledge. I think about a little boy, a young man it was. He was a young boy. He got him a job at a pet shop. And he was going to deliver pets when people bought them. He was a little bit, not all there, but he was... He was a good worker. And so a lady came in, Mrs. Jones. She came in and bought a rabbit. She bought a rabbit and paid for it and said, could you deliver it sometimes when it comes in? He had to order it. Rabbit came in. He called this boy and said, all right, take this rabbit. I want you to take it down to Mrs. Jones and write on a piece of paper the address. This is Mrs. Jones, Route 2, Box 4. Told him how to get there and so forth. And he said, now, don't forget this. Don't you lose this paper. He knew he might forget if he'd lose it. So as he got in an old pickup truck, was driving, he had to be old enough to drive then, so he had to be older than 10, I guess. So he got in an old pickup truck and started down the road, and he's afraid he was going to not remember what the address was. He'd get that piece of paper out, and he'd look at it, Mrs. Jones, Route 2, Box 4. Put it back, and go a little further, and get it out again. Mrs. Jones, Route 2, Box 4. Go a little bit further. And he took it out five or six times, and suddenly he took it out one time and run into the ditch and wrecked the pickup truck, and the rabbit got loose and jumped out the window and ran across the field. And he got out and was looking at it, and the guy saw he'd run into the ditch, and he came over there and said, and the guy was looking at the rabbit, and he didn't really look at the truck, and he was just laughing. And the guy said, sir, I can't imagine. You just had an accident here, and you're laughing. He said, yeah, I'm laughing at that dumb rabbit. He said, look at him running across that field. He thinks he knows the way, and he don't know the way. I've got the address in my pocket. It's a matter of what we think sometimes, or what we think we know sometimes. Well, here, it's interesting. I go back to over here to 2 Timothy with just a moment and get an idea. I want to understand why Paul told to Timothy what he said in verse 12. Here at this time is the letter that Paul is writing right before he's martyred. And he's writing his last words of this great apostle that God will preserve down through the years as he writes to Timothy. And he's talking about the hard times they're going through. And I read this quickly. He said in verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but God has given us the spirit of power. He's given us the spirit of love. And it's interesting because power in itself it can be a powerful sword, but when it's balanced with love, power will be used like it ought to be used. And then he says that of a sound mind. He said, Timothy, God has given us a sound mind. He's also given us love. He'd give us power. And he'll take that love and balance that power and sound mind, that what you do will be done for the glory of God, and anything for God's glory is going to be for your good anyhow. Verse 8, he said, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. I pray this morning, God, please help me get our people never to be ashamed of you. God, if I can get anything else, help them to see that they have a duty to be responsible for God, to get the message out wherever they go. They have a duty to be found faithful in what they do. So the message, the worst thing in this world is someone say, you know, so-and-so tried to tell me about Jesus Christ. I don't believe a word of it because I don't think they're faith. I don't think whatever they do, they talk, but they never do. That's a sad, I pray, God, help us see if we're going to talk, we got to do. You say, nobody will know. Yes, they will. Satan is more powerful than you and I are. Notice he said, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Nor of me, his prisoner, Paul said. I'm in prison. Why? Because I insurrected the governor? No. Because I robbed someone? No. Because I killed someone? No. Why? Because he preached Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. That's the reason he's there. He didn't harm society, but he's there for that purpose. He said, but be thou partakers. Notice this. Of the afflictions of the gospel. You can't be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel unless you're trying to give it out. And he says, to the power of God. He saved us and called us with a holy calling. Watch this phrase. Not according to our works, but he said according to his grace. And down in verse 11, he said, whereunto I am appointed a preacher. I am appointed, notice, apostle. I'm appointed as a teacher. Here I am to the Gentiles. I have been appointed as a preacher. I've been appointed as an apostle. I've been appointed as a teacher to the Gentiles. God has appointed me to this position. And then he says, whereunto I am appointed in verse 11, verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. The fact that God saw in me whatever he saw, even before he was on the road to Damascus, God saw it. What God saw in him, he said, is this amazing thing that God has appointed me these places, and therefore the reason I'm suffering the things I'm suffering now is because of God's appointment. No wonder he looked at himself and said, you know, don't be ashamed of me in my testimony, and because I'm in prison. He said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. In verse 12, why? For I know whom I have believed. I got a feeling a lot of folks don't know that. Well, they talk it, but it's not enough to live it. See, Paul's not only talked it, he lived it, and it got him in trouble, and he's in prison on account of it. A lot of folks go into prison today, not because they're standing for the truth, because they're taking advantage of God's people and getting things illegally. But Paul was there because he was preaching nothing but the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting. He said, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed against committed unto him against that day. Paul was appointed by God, verse 11, as the official messenger of God to the Gentiles. And John is telling us that God has given us his son. This is not a speculation. This is not a mythicism. This is a reality. God said he would give us his son. If we believe the record that God gave us of his son. If you're ever going to get saved, it's going to be that way. If you've never been saved that way, you're not saved. I don't care who they are, who's listening, who's looking by the upstream, or who listens by the radio. They're not saved unless they have the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all there is to it. Now, it's interesting. What is the first thing that you need to know then when it comes to this record? What is the first thing? And someone said, well, I need to know Jezebel and there. Some kinfolk said, move away from there. California's the place you want to be. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Well, there's swimming pools and pleasure and things like that. There's a lot of folks know enough to get that. They're never going to go to heaven. What we're talking about. What about what we know? Do we know what we know? Have you ever thought about what you know? The word know means what you have in mind, have learned, what you've been able to recall, what you're able to be acquainted with, to be friendly with, to have a personal experience with. God wants us to know these things. Watch this. There's eight quick that I'm going to give to you that has to do around this thing of getting us to know who Jesus Christ is, who God is, and have a relationship with him. There's many other things. Brother Keith done a great job going through many things about what God wants us to know in the last few weeks. But this has to do about around that thing that around that error of place of getting us to know who God is, who Christ is, and realize what God is doing based on knowledge, which is received by faith and accepted by faith. And it becomes substance. It becomes a reality. It becomes real, even though maybe people may mock. And they, by the way, folks, listen, get used to it. It's going to come more and more. Get used to it. When a country or a nation or a people forsakes God, those who stand in the presence are going to end up having some hard times. And by the way, when it comes, then the Lord himself will be glorified. Do you think most people understand what God is doing? Let me hear you. No. Do you really think that most people understand? Well, that makes you some kind of authority. No, it just makes me an humble believer about what God says in his record. That's all. First of all, God, we know this, that God has a plan. And God has a purpose. Now, if he's got a plan and purpose, I need to find out what it is. Because if I'm involved in any kind of plan and purpose, not God, then I'm wasting my time. Did you know the Bible said in Proverbs 14, 12, there's a way that seems right unto man, but it's the wrong way. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, there's a way that seems right, but it's wrong? There is a right way that would be right, but there is a wrong. Isn't it amazing? If there's a wrong way that seems right, but it's wrong, I need to know about it. Don't you? I want to go the right way. Don't you? Well, how am I going to find out the right way? Listen to somebody else tell me what it is that don't know the way? No. One thing is for sure. I believe God wrote this book. And if he says there is a way that seems right, but it's wrong, then I need to understand that and be sure that I'm not headed down that way that seems right, could be wrong. You should understand, I said, God, I believe God gave us this book. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be standing here wasting my time worried like I do about everything that goes on in the ministry. It wouldn't be worth the time. It wouldn't be worth your time either. But if he's right, he's worth it, folks. I'm going to be a lot longer on the other side than I'm on this side. And I'm going to have a lot more to do in God's eternal bliss than I'm going to have here in this world while I'm working. And so will you. And I assure you that it is right, what God says. It's interesting. Not all that seems right is right, Proverbs 4:12 teaches us. Many seek to take the easy road and the path of least resistance. In Matthew 7:14, our Savior said, straight is the way, or straight is the gate, narrows the way which leadeth into life. And notice our Savior said, and there be few that find it. Now, who am I going to believe? The Savior, who is truth? Or I'm going to believe the whole world's headed in the right direction, though they're going in different ways. Jesus says, straight is the gate, narrows the way. And he said, it leads into, which leads unto life. And he said, there be few that find it. Now, that few can be thousands and millions, but compared to what's lived down through history, it's a very few. I have to understand that. He wants us to know his plan. And we find that plan in this book. So number two, he wants us to know that as a child of God, he's gave us a promise. Romans 8:28. Whatever you face, take the stand. When you do, the world will hate. You don't have to go make enemies in the world. Take a stand. They'll become your enemies. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be arrogant. You don't have to go and bless someone out because they don't trust the Lord. Just do what you want to do for God and let God be honored, and then it will come. But I want you to know, I give you a promise. Romans 8:28 means that what I say. All things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. I promise you that. And it will work. We can be sure that every detail of our lives of love for God is worked into something good. God's plan is going to succeed. Did you hear what I said, folks? God's plan is going to succeed. Mark it down. And if we're in that plan, it may look like on this earth we don't have much and not getting anywhere too fast because it seems like Satan has the upper hand. But God always warns us, he's greater in us than he's in this world, and God's plan is going to succeed. It has, and it will, until God closes this thing out. So the main thing about it, God has two purposes in his plan. Romans 8:28, he talks about it works for our good. And if you go looking also in Galatians 1:5, you'll find it'll be for his glory. So this thing of God's purpose, two purposes, is that whatever takes place will be for His glory and it'll be for my good if I'm for His glory or doing that which brings Him that glory. That's a promise of God. I know that. I have it as far as His word. Number three, I also know there are two ways that we can know that we are of God and in God. If you look with me in 1 John, again, over about verse chapter 2 and verse 3, John says this in verse 3, and hereby we know that we know Him. Now, I'm talking about knowing Him, and also we can know that we know Him, and we also know that we pass from death unto life. And he says, hereby we know Him, that we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandment. Now, the word commandments here is a general sense of keeping His word. If, in other words, we can know that we know Him if we obey Him. That's a good sign. There's a desire, it's a true cries, Abba, Father, that we want to obey Him. Look in verse 14 of chapter 3. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Here we can know that we know God in the right way by obedience. And we also know that we know God, that we pass from death unto life, because that love, which is the second thing that Paul told Timothy, when it talks about power and love and a sound mind, that love will be balanced with that power to be saved, which in turn causes us not only to love God, who first loved us, which is vertical, but to love others horizontally. I can't help but love you if I love God like I want to. You can't help but love me if you love God like. Let me get out of the traces with God, then I won't love you and you won't love me. God is love, John tells us. And therefore he manifests that in this life. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, he said, God is love. The fourth thing that God shows us that we can absolutely know too about this thing of relationship with Him. I'm talking about, how do you know you have eternal life? How do you, I mean, good knee, what makes you better than why I do this and I think I got it and it's entirely different? What makes you dead? Well, where do you get your information from? Did the rock tell you? That's when you're trusting in Him? Did the tree speak to you? Now, Clemens Park got some trees that speak, but they have to put it, you got to put the voice in there. Have you ever been over there? You know, you got some trees that would talk, but you got to put the talk in it. I've never been up to a tree that God created, come out of the ground and spoke, and it spoke to me. So it can't be a God. By the way, it's never heard me either. I've had a few. I'd said, grow a little faster. I got some now. I'd said, hey, I wish you'd never grown into it at all. What I'm saying is that, you know, there we can know. We know because we have passed from death into life. We know that we have because we love the brother. Number four, we know that there are no, hear me, and I say this compassionately and lovingly but powerfully, there are no perfect people on this earth. No perfect people. I said that one time, a person's husband had died, a lady had died, her husband had died, and she was married to a second man, both of them good Christians, and said, no perfect people on this earth. And he said, not according to my wife, her first husband was real perfect. But there's not. You know why? Romans 3:23 says we've all sinned. God declares us all sinners. God declares us all guilty so He might offer all of us the free gift of salvation. God is not looking for perfect people. God is looking for forgiven people. And He sets the means to forgive them. Someone say, well, I come to God and ask God to forgive my sins. He did it. Have you ever trusted Christ? That has nothing to do with it. Oh, yes, it does. Amen. Oh, yes, it does. I either believe this book if I don't. And this book teaches me I have no forgiveness of sin without the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Amen. You say, that's the reason why the world makes you their enemy, because they will not accept that. And because they will not accept that, then the only thing they can see, you're not one of us. You're not one of us. Doubt, fear, rebellion, and unbelief destroys people. Sin is a trap, a terrible payday. Sin kills. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Sin takes you further than you plan to go, keeps you longer than you want to be kept, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay in the end results. And yet people enjoy it so much, they keep going. I tell you this, I know sin separates man from God, but I'll tell you in this, it'll separate man from man too. Let one who tries to serve God and another does not, and there'll be problems there. The fifth thing I know also that God teaches me is the basics I need to know as I approach in the Christian life after trusting Christ is this. I know who it is that God loves. You do too if you quoted the verse probably in kindergarten, child years ago in school, in Christian, in church. God so loved this world. He loves the whole world. John 3:16. That's a factor. And that's a fact. God so loved. You cannot find a person on the face of this earth that God does not love. And I'll tell you this, he hates sin, but he loves the sinner. There's a difference between between perishing and living. There's a difference between condemnation and salvation. And the difference is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you will, quickly over to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 21. I want to give you something I believe will be a blessing. You remember the story when Moses... God had used Moses to instruct the people, and here they are out of the land of Egypt now. In verse 5 of 21 says, and the people spake against God and against Moses. And they said, now, the only thing we've had out here for days now is this manna falling from heaven. By the way, which was probably the best food this world's ever seen. Given by God, nutrition, protein, everything that was needed in that bread, God put in that when he let it fall from heaven. And yet they were not satisfied. And they began to grumble and complain. And he said, wherefore you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness, for there is no bread, there's no water. And our souls loathed this like bread. Now they disliked it. That's what it means. And the Lord sent, he doesn't put up with it. He sent fiery serpents, notice, he said, among the people. And they said, and they bit people, and much people of Israel died. Oh, my soul. You mean a God would do that? He had to do it. Moses didn't have the power to do it. You mean to tell me, preacher, that your God got so up? No, this is Israel's God too. Got so upset because a few people out in the desert land grumbling over some wafers. You don't know what it's made of. I know God gave it to them. And I believe God gave them the best. But you don't really, no. And you mean because they grumbled a little bit, there was a lot, that God sent fiery serpents? I'm glad my God's not that way. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. This world is deceived to know that God is they got an idea that God's some little pammy-ammy type of figure in heaven that everybody can pull the string and control. God is sovereign. He's all-powerful. He speaks and worlds are formed. And he warned Israel over and over and over. And he said they bit the people. And the people come to Moses and said, and I like this. At least they knew where to go to and what to say. We've sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray to the Lord, Moses. Please pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents. And Moses prayed before the people. Moses loved them enough, he began to pray for them. Did God hear their prayer? Yes. But watch this, folks. He wasn't going to just do it because they asked it. They had to show they meant what they said. Watch. And I'm laying to a point when we get back to this about... God loves everybody. And said in verse 8, and the Lord said to Moses, make thee a serpent, a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Now, ladies and gentlemen, get this in your mind. God could have just went ahead and let it be removed and Moses prayed. Didn't God answer Moses' prayer? He sure did. But he didn't answer it the way most people would think, just asking it happened. See, God says, can I read between the lines? God is saying to Israel, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to see to it that if you really mean business, I know what you mean, but I'm going to let you see if you mean business, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a remedy, but this is what you got to do. It's like today. By the way, Jesus in John 3 brought this scripture up to talk about himself being lifted up on a tree. And the same application is applied for us in the age of grace as what he's applied to that serpent for Israel is applied for us who are in the age of grace, Jew and Gentile, that we have to do. Now watch what he said. And Moses prayed. And the Lord said to Moses, do this. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And it came to pass, watch, that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent on the pole, he lived. Now, I visualized many times. Here's a guy's leg swelled up, as big as no telling what. And here he is. Oh, my God. Moses prayed that I'd get well. Moses said, I prayed. But Moses prayed. God hadn't done this yet. He said, see that serpent on the pole? They said, look at that serpent on the pole. You live. That serpent can't help me. It's just a piece of brass. I know it is, but God said, do it. I don't understand all about it, Moses, but God said, do it. If you look at that serpent, God said, you shall live. If you don't, you're going to die. And he says, no. And ladies and gentlemen, there are probably some people who were bitten, didn't look at that pole, and they did die. But I'll tell you this, he could be somebody, and he'd say, and just like that, he was made well. And Jesus uses that to tell us about himself. As the serpent was lifted up, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And everyone who believes in him should have life. You see, God said there's a sin problem like there's a snake problem there. And God is telling us that in that sin problem, man can't do it by himself. And God has said, I've got a remedy. And that remedy is Jesus Christ on the cross, who died and was buried and rose again. And if you do not trust Jesus Christ, hear me, folks. You don't have to have a college education. You don't have a high school education. You don't even have to have an intern somewhere or another to look. That's how it was. Look. You don't have to have a college education. You don't have to be an expert in knowledge to be able to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. That he is the Savior. And I'll tell you this, as every person in Israel looked upon that serpent, God kept his word. And as every person in the age of grace, and since Christ came and died, trusted Jesus as their personal Savior, God will keep his word. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'm talking about things that God has shown us that's so simple we make them complicated in our lives. You don't need a college degree to look. You just need to believe God by faith. We also know that Jesus Christ died for our sins. We know that. He was made sin for us. He who knew no sin, Romans 2 Corinthians 5:22. We also know in Romans chapter 5, God commended his love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us in verse 6. And I could give others, don't have the time. The seventh thing, we know and be assured that in Jesus Christ we are saved through faith. Amen. Acts 16, Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail, having a revival. Earthquake comes. The jailer runs in. What must I do to be saved? Verse 31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Same thing, except Jesus is to be believed in. And this person here who's got the snake bite has just got to believe God by looking at the serpent. The serpent doesn't have power to remove that venom. But God who said do that does. Jesus has power to remove your sin because he died for it. Move my sin because he died for it. God's plan is much higher than ours. So we can know, without a doubt, and be assured that in Christ we're saved through faith. Again, if you go back and look what I read to you to start with, and I won't read it for sake of time, in 1 John chapter 5, he tells us, this is the witness of God. God has given his son. He has a record. And the record is that he that hath the Son hath light, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. that the Son of God hath not lied. Again, he wrote these things that we may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, I know God has a plan. I know that Romans 8:28 is for God's glory and for my good. I know two ways that I can be of and in God, obedience to him, shows I know him, and also I know I pass from death into life because I love the brethren. I know that there are no perfect people in this world in the flesh, and God is not looking for perfect people. He's looking for forgiven people. I also know who God loves. John 3:16 tells me that. I also know that Jesus died for my sin. And I know this, through Jesus Christ, there is no, last week I preached a message, no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. There is no other way. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in this world today, this liberty is going to be lost before long. It's got so that seeing any religious group in this world say anything they want to say, no one says a thing. Let one person who names the name of Christ go somewhere where they're together and they want to let them have prayer and a national prayer tape. Have we got our head in the sand? Do we believe that things are hunky-dory and, you know, the whole world's going to get saved? No, I don't. I believe there are fewer and fewer and fewer, but one of these days, God will save the last soul. And the trump will sound, and the voice of the archangel will be heard, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive will be changed, and will meet the Lord in the air. That's the only solution. When sin personifies itself. And then last of all, I know that Jesus is coming again. I know that. Peter said, hey, they mocked and said, where is this coming? They're still doing that today. You need to get in it, preacher. It's the reality of how you live, not so much looking for a Savior. I can't live if I don't have a Savior. If he's not my Savior, I have nothing worth living for. Suppose you find out he's not there. I'll take my chance because I believe this book. On the other hand, I'll tell you this, though. Will they take their chance and not accept what this book says? I think I'll come out the best, don't you? So will you. What I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, these are the days we're living in. We're going to have to understand we're either in or not. And if we are, not arrogant, learn how to use the power and love and a sound mind that God gives us, he says, to minister the things of God in this life. I know that I can trust the God that I know. And say with Timothy, and so can you. When he said this, I know whom I believe. If you know whom, you see what Paul is saying. That one I've trusted in, I know who he is and what he can do. I know. I just know. And because I know, I am persuaded, as he gives so forcefully, that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. There's people today, I get a voice of the, what's it called, like voice of the martyrs, voice of the martyrs today. Now, we got Fox's Book of Martyrs. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a paper now called The Voice of Martyrs. That comes out, where right in our age, people every day are being martyred for the name of Christ only. Just the fact they named Christ. And many of these are being mutilated because they hate that name. I'm saying to you, the most precious name that's ever mentioned on the tongues of men is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's worthy, the Lamb, as we see in Revelation 5. Worthy is the Lamb, because as John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, I close with this thought with you in understanding the things that God really wants us to know, the simple things that sets us straight to begin in the Christian life. God wants us to understand. He's not going to tell us about a place to go without telling us how to get there. And he's not going to leave us ignorant in this world. That's the reason he's preserved this book for our day. Like he said this morning, we're ignorant of this book because we don't study it much. We don't read it. We read other people, what other people say about it. And I guarantee you, if you're not careful, a lot of literature nowadays being written is not like it was years ago. It refers to many different Bibles. It changed a lot of different things. Do you know Christ today? If not, this record is simple, to the point. And God wants us to know He has a plan. He has a purpose. He wants us to know that we can know God and have a relationship with Him. We can obey Him and have the knowledge and know we pass from death into life because of what He gives us in the love for the brethren. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for forgiven people. And I like what Joe Arthur said this week. Parents, and I know it helped you. You do everything you can to train your children in the way they should go, but you're not responsible for the decisions they make. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? That's a Bible truth, by the way. You cannot make responsible decisions for them, but you can teach them the things they need to know. And the same way here, teacher, everyone here, we can teach our classes and others what we believe the Bible says, and they have the record to see that, but we can't make them make that decision. They have to respond to God for that. I give you this morning, a simplicity of God's plan of salvation, but I can't make the decision for you. But you can. Will you? Stand to our feet, please. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You this morning, Lord, for the love of God. I thank You for this book. And I understand now why so many down through the ages, dear Father, trying their best to come to a new place where they could present Jesus Christ the best and have the freedom they could have to present it. Our Father, the world down through the ages has gone through these ups and downs. We've been mighty blessed to be raised in a country where everything was centered around God, even though there may have been some disagreements about some doctrinal things in years past. Many of us, been blessed to be raised in the Bible Belt, where there was great meetings and remind us of who we are and who God was and how we could have a relationship with Him. That's changing, Lord. Television has changed now to where things are piped in from everywhere. Everybody's afraid to take a stand for anything in this life now because they may offend somebody else. Lord, it always amazes me. Religious people don't mind offending us about what they believe and why they don't believe in what we believe. Why in the world would there be such a hatred towards those who believe in Jesus Christ? It's got to be the name. It's a powerful name. Dear Father, we understand. We have no power to make people believe the record You gave of Your Son, but we have the responsibility to give that record out. I've tried to do this on the day after our camp meeting this past week. We've had such a glorious time on the mountaintop. And I believe, Lord, that weeks ago, as I started this message now, that it came this time because we at the camp meeting on the top sliding the other way, and we realize when we get back to that valley, we've got a work to do till Jesus comes. I don't go into this town trying to make enemies. I don't go in society and try. I don't go places and try to make enemies. Lord, I'm not going to rob anybody and shoot anybody. I'm not going to harm anybody that I know of. But I must respond with the gospel of Christ. And I must be really willing and ready to accept the consequences if God so lets us go through a situation where in turn there's great resistance. Lord, we love You this morning. Many of us served You many years. There's no way we can go back now. Lord, to go back now, we'll lose all of that which we might have gained through the years. We just asked You as a body of believers, help us, Lord, to stand in love, not arrogantly. Help us, Lord, to show the love of God through Jesus Christ. Help us not argue, but instruct. Help us know enough that we can sit down intelligently, talk to individuals about what God has shown us He's done. Not from a thing of just knowledge, but from experience, because we've experienced it. The apostles came out preaching the resurrection, Lord, because they saw Jesus. And the Holy Spirit convinced it the Holy Spirit was not using them at that time. They were given a record of what they saw, and then the Holy Spirit later gave inspiration to write it. Lord, we have the inspiration to write what they saw and what the Holy Spirit says about our Savior. Give us that ability to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.